Thank you to Kevin and the rest of our worship team this morning. Man, it's so different being just behind a camera and none of you being here, but man, the Lord is faithful, and we're so excited to be able to worship this morning, even through means of technology. And so I'm excited about what God's going to do. I hope that you've come ready and prepared. Hopefully you've got your Bible out. You can go ahead and open that up to the book of John, chapter 6. That's where we're going to be. So go ahead and pull your Bible out and get ready. Kind of stick your finger there. I do want to know a few things real quick, though. What's it like when you go on a trip? You know, I mean, like, think about it. If you're about to take an adventure, or maybe you're just going to go see some family or whatever, and you're getting the car ready or you're getting your things ready, and I wonder what it is that you take with you when you go. So when Bobby and I go on trips, I mean, I feel like we pack an 18-wheeler, all right? I feel like we pack up the entire house, and then we go somewhere, and then we unload and hang out for a while, and then we come back. And so I compiled like a little list. This is just a small list of things that we have to pack when we go on places. And so we need to pack a pack and play. That's for Carter. A diaper bag, you know. We have extra diapers, extra wipes, clothes for everybody, and then clothes, more clothes, and more clothes. And then with the clothes comes all the luggage, so you got 4 or 5 bags of luggage that you got to bring with you. And then I got to bring a fan. I got to bring a small fan, so maybe you're not that kind of person, but I like to kind of have a little shh, kind of a little white noise, but I kind of like to feel the breeze too, you know. Maybe you don't understand that, but most fat people do. So most importantly, I like to bring snacks. Maybe you don't like snacks, but I love to bring snacks. Driving food. Y'all know what driving food is, right? Skittles, M&Ms, Nabs, you know, peanut butter crackers, a little bit of Coke Zero, a little bit of Dr. Pepper or Coke or whatever suits your fancy. But you got snacks and all kinds of things that you want to pack, right? And then you got to pack snacks for your kids, you know, and because they eat different things than you eat, but maybe you can like kind of steal some of their snacks. You understand what I'm saying? And then you got to, you know, pack some chocolate milk for them. At least that's what our kids, that's their drink of choice, is chocolate milk. And so we got to pack that and so on. And, you know, even if we're going just down the road to like Birmingham to see my aunt, or if we're going, to Ohio to see my sister-in-law. But either way, wherever we're going, we're packing stuff, and we're packing that. And, you know, we traveled to Gulfport to see my sister, you know, 10 hours away, and, you know, we're really packing a lot of stuff then. But even when we go just like to Louisville, we're still packing stuff. We got to pack the diaper bag. We got to pack clothes. We got to pack all this just in case, right? And I wonder what it was like back in the day when Jesus was roaming around and talking. And you know, we're continuing in our series with the 7 signs and talking about Jesus and his character and who he is. And I wonder, you know, when people began to follow Jesus, did they pack anything? Did they bring anything with them? Did they say, hey, Jesus is going to be passing through town. We need to go ahead and get the chocolate, the M&Ms and the Coke Zero and the things ready so that when he passes by, we're ready to go. Because you guys know that when Jesus passed through a town, hundreds and thousands of people followed after him. And you know, when Jesus called the disciples, they left everything. They dropped everything to follow after him. I run down the road just to go shopping, and I'm bringing all kinds of things. I didn't drop anything. And so I'm just kind of wondering, like, why, when we're talking about this, and what that is like to drop everything, to completely leave all things behind. Because, you know, I don't know exactly what it was like to live back then, but I can promise you this, there wasn't a 7-Eleven on every corner for you to get a Slurpee at. There wasn't a Walmart for you to go to and say, hey, we need to go in here and get a loaf of bread and some cheese and some meat. We'll just pack some sandwiches on the way. That's not how things were back then. So there wasn't like just these little stops that you could just get all this stuff. And so when they left everything behind, they left everything behind. And so when Jesus was walking and people would come, they knew that Jesus was about to do something. They knew that if they just got close to him, that healing would happen, or freedom would happen, or something would go on just to be around him. Because they had already heard what he was doing. And so we're continuing with these miracles that Jesus is doing. And I wonder, what this was like. So if you turn in your Bible to John chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 1 and we're going to roll through. We're just going to read through it. And then we're going to come back and we're going to kind of chop it up. We're going to kind of look at it and take some little things from the scriptures. So John chapter 6. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes, then and seeing the large crowd was coming towards him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said to this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now, there was much grass in the place, and so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus, when he took the loaves and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told the disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. And when the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Let's pray. Father, we pray this morning, God, that your word would go forth. Father, we pray that you would use this time to speak to us. Father, we pray for people who are struggling. Father, we pray for people who are seeking, God, that they would find you, that they would find freedom in you, and freedom from sickness and freedom from sin, because you are able to do more than we can ever imagine, Father, and we know that today. And Lord, we pray that you would speak during this time. We ask all of this in your son's name. Amen. And so what I'd like to do is I just kind of want to walk through this passage of scripture with everybody, and we'll just chop it up. So verses 1-4, after this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Jesus is trying to catch a breather here, all right? So literally, Jesus is walking to the other side because he's like, look, I got to get away for a minute, okay? You understand that. This whole COVID-19 thing's got you stir crazy. You need to take a minute. You get it. I need a break from the kids. The kids are like, I need a break from my parents. You don't understand. They're driving me crazy. You get this. And so Jesus in this moment is saying, hey, let's take a breather. There are people who are following me everywhere I go. Let's go to the other side over here. So Jesus tries to escape for a few seconds. And what happens? The thousands find a way. They find a way. And so you can imagine they go up on the side of this hill. You know, they're sitting on this mountainside. They're just kind of hanging out. And all of a sudden, you know, Jesus just kind of, all right, we're good. And he lifts up his eyes and, here they are again. He doesn't have that attitude, but he welcomes everyone with open arms. But you can imagine if that was me or you, we would probably be the same way. Can I just get a second? Does that sound familiar? You know, parents, I need a minute. Or even your spouse, whatever that may be, right? I mean, leave me alone. We were just talking about that a few minutes ago. But so he's trying to catch a breather, right? And so all of a sudden, there's these thousands of people that are showing up, right? And so in great Jesus fashion, you can imagine Jesus hanging out with the disciples, and all of a sudden he leans over to Philip and says, hey, where are we going to get food to feed these people? You know, you can imagine that, you know, it's like, ha ha, okay, Jesus. Like, we know that he's about to do a miracle. We know that. We've read the scriptures. But Philip's sitting there going, look, my man, this is fixing to get crazy. What do you mean we're going to feed these people? 5,000 men. Just remember that, okay? 5,000 men, right? And so he says, hey, in verse 5, where are we to buy bread for all of these people to eat? There's not a 7-Eleven on every corner, okay? There's not a Walmart on the corner for you to just go buy bread for 5,000 men plus the women plus the children that are all going to be there. We can do some math on that deal and think there's probably a good 10,000 people there, if not more. Okay, not saying that every single one of those men was married, not saying that every one of those men had kids, but even if just half of them had a wife and kids. There was a lot of people there, okay? And so he's all of a sudden, he's like, you know, hey, where are we going to find bread to feed all these people? Acting surprised, like Jesus doesn't know what's about to happen. Y'all ever been there? You know, like, you know what Jesus is about to do, right? And so, of course, verse 6, check this out. He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do, right? Of course Jesus knew what he was going to do. Jesus always has a plan. He's got a plan to back up the plan to back up the plan. You know what I'm talking about? If you're a planner, you know what that means. You got a plan for the plan for the plan. I get it. I'm a planner, okay? Hey, this is going to happen. I got a plan. Don't worry about it. Let's get this figured out. But Jesus knew exactly what was going to go on. But the cool thing here is that Jesus wants to include Philip in this moment. And he wants to include the rest of the disciples in this moment, right? Even though he already knew what kind of plan he had, he already knew what was going to go on, right? And just to be quite honest for a minute, like, the disciples were definitely inadequate in this moment, right? I mean, outside of Jesus being there, the disciples would have nothing to do. They are completely inadequate for the circumstance. And that's just like me and you. We are completely inadequate. Without the power and grace of Jesus, the power of Christ in us, we are completely inadequate in this moment. You're seeing that. This whole COVID thing has got people, you know, feeling like depressed and stressed and anxious and all these different things. And outside of Jesus and outside of his power and might, you are inadequate. You don't have the right things to do. You don't have the right things to say. But thankfully, we have Jesus because he knows you. He knows your situation. He knows what you need. He knows how to handle you. He knows all the things about you. There is nothing that is new to him. Absolutely nothing is new to him. Because again, in this moment, when he leans over and says, hey, Philip, how are we going to feed these people? In his brain, he's thinking, I already know. And in your life, he's already thinking, I already know. I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you to be obedient. I'm waiting on you to join me in the work. And so the question that I have for you is, do you trust him? Do you trust him in what he has promised? Because he's promised to take care of you, but do you trust him fully to really take care of him? See, this past week, I've had an absolute crazy week. Steve and Kevin and I, we kind of walked through this teaching platform and all these kinds of things, and we were talking about sermons, and it just kind of happened to be the way that it landed that I would preach on this passage of scripture. But my plan for this week was way different than the way that this week worked out. God's plan is always different, right? So this past week, I had planned on doing my office work like I normally would. I had some ministry opportunities I was going to, you know, kind of get creative and partake in. And all of a sudden, I get a phone call on a Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Hey, from my great friends who has my best interest in mind, okay? Mind you that. This person calls me and says, hey, I have somebody that's going to drop off some fish. Can you kind of help me with that? Sure, you know, how much fish are we talking about? It's probably just a cooler of fish. Okay, great, I'll take care of it. Well, the truck comes and it's 350 pounds of fresh rainbow trout. Okay, I'll say that again. It's supposed to be a cooler. No, 350 pounds of rainbow trout, fresh rainbow trout. I literally about had a heart attack. What am I going to do with all this fish? What am I going to do? Who am I going to give it? I mean, a cooler of fish is a lot different than 7 cases of fish. And so I was like, okay, so that was just Monday. Worked it out. The Lord was like, I know what I'm doing. Just relax. And lo and behold, he did exactly what I knew that he would do. He found people that needed the fish that contacted me. You know, you put one little blurb on Facebook. Hey, I got some free. I'm here. It doesn't matter what you're giving away. People will get it. I promise. You want to get rid of it? Put it on Facebook. So then Tuesday morning, we wake up, I get another phone call. It's probably about, 8 o'clock. Hey, John, I got another opportunity. Same person, another opportunity. Oh, great, here we go. What's this going to be like? Well, I got a truck that's coming. It's got 7 pallets of food on it. 7 pallets of food. No problem. Okay, we'll take care of it. No, I mean, it's 7 pallets. We'll work it out. It'll be okay. And so what we do is God gives us an opportunity to be a blessing to our community. We get this truckload of food that's got fresh fruits and veggies and meats and all kinds of crazy stuff on it. And we make a makeshift grocery store right here in our FLC, and we give away food to our community. Is that the way that my Tuesday had planned out? No. We were going to have a big staff meeting that morning. I get to church. Hey, Steve, We got a change of plans. 7 pallets of food are coming in today. Ah! And all of us go to work. And literally, we didn't stop working until probably 2 o'clock. Some of us left earlier, but it was about 2 o'clock, okay? So that was my Tuesday. Then from that truckload of food, we had 2 cases of whole chickens. We're like, hey, let's take these whole chickens, we'll bake these chickens, and then we'll give them away on Friday to our homebound and to people that need them. And so guess what we did? Friday, we baked chickens. Pretty cool, right? Now remember, my message today is about feeding 5,000. I felt like we've fed like 50,000 at this point, right? Not even knowing what our week was going to be like. But see, God continues to make plans. And see, what's really cool is that because of all these things that are happening, on Wednesday, our church has the opportunity to feed every family and every apartment in Meadow Ridge and Veachdale Apartments. So our staff was beginning to talk about and how we can minister to our community because of all of these things that happened. And we started to kick around some ideas. And all of a sudden, we came to say, hey, let's give everybody pizza. So we called JT's Pizza in Simpsonville. And we said, hey, we're wanting to feed all of these apartments, Meadow Ridge and Veachdale, every single apartment. Can you help us out? Well, let's make some phone calls. We'll try to figure some things out. You know what JT's Pizza did? They said, absolutely, we'll take care of it. Let's do it. So 120 pizzas will be delivered on Wednesday to all of the families living in these 2 apartment complexes because the Lord is working his plan out before we even knew it. See, and that's a really cool thing because, again, it takes a lot of sacrifice for small businesses, especially like JT's Pizza. So you guys make sure you go and hit them up and hook them up and go get some takeout pizza or takeout a sandwich. Best sandwich in the world is the Matt Boley, just saying. Anyway, but go see them because here's the deal. God is always at work around us. God is always around wanting to do things, but you've got to find the opportunity. You've got to look for the opportunity to join him in his work. And see, the miracle that's taking place here in the scriptures in John, Jesus is waiting for the disciples to get involved. The miracle, let's be honest. Jesus feeding 5,000 is a miracle. But the cooler part of the story is that he's allowing us to be a part of his miracle work. And he's allowing Philip to do that. And so verse 7, you know, Philip's response is incredible. I love this. He says to him, let's see, verse 7. Sorry, I'm trying to find it. Philip answered him, 200 denarii, that's about 6 months' wages, okay? 200 denarii would not be enough to bread to feed these people, to even get them a little. Okay, and so he's like, look, you know what? We don't even have enough money. Do you know how much money that is, Jesus? Do you know what we would have to do to feed all of these people? We don't have the resources. We don't have the money, much less the place to get enough food to feed that many people. What are we gonna do? And, you know, of course, you know, the disciples are always so fun to be around, right? And so you know that some of them are over here in the corner like, hey, man, let's go get some kids food. Or, hey, let's go. You know, we're hungry, too. Let's see what these people got to eat, you know? And they probably like are like, okay, hey, it's cool. Let's go do it, right? So they all kind of on the side, like they're like, we're going to go find some food for these guys from these people that are out here. And so sure enough, they go and they look around, right? They look around for food, and all of a sudden, you know, check this out. It says, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, says, hey, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many? Into the scene steps the first bully stealing somebody's lunch, right? Hey, give me your lunch, kid, you know, like, you know, or whatever the case may be. But honestly, I mean, you know, Andrew says, hey, I found a kid's lunch here. Now, you need to know about barley. Barley was like the poorest of the poor bread that you could get. So this kid probably didn't have enough already, and much less to give him his 5 loaves and his 2 fish is a big deal. But let's back up for a minute. Let's back up to Philip's response. Because I think that there are several people that would respond in the same way. See, because Philip was so nearsighted in this moment that he wasn't concerned with what Jesus was about to do, and knowing that he'd been around Jesus and knowing long enough that when people show up, crazy things happen and miracles happen, that Philip was so short-sighted to say, well, we don't have the money. And maybe you've been there before in your life. Maybe you've been there like, you know what? We don't have the money. We can't do that. We cannot feed these people because we don't have the kind of money. Maybe you're like me because I'm very financially minded. I'm very one of those people like, you know, I want to make sure that we have enough to cover this or cover that or to do this or do that. And it gets me in trouble a lot of times because sometimes I become so short-sighted that I don't trust God for my needs. And see, Philip passed up a moment, a great moment to trust in the Lord's work. And see, in our own lives, how many times do we do that, right? We are currently in a season of having to trust God in our circumstances. Maybe you've lost a job. Maybe you've been laid off because of this. Maybe you're having to file unemployment. Well, that only pays 2/3 of your salary. Maybe there's all kinds of things that are going on. I get it. I understand. And maybe just trusting God just with your finances in general is a struggle for you. But the truth is we need to trust him for our well-being. We need to trust him in all of our circumstances because he's gonna do it. He promises it in the scriptures over and over and over again, and we can have testimony over and over about the way that God provides for us. And so anyway, so let's get back to verse 9. So here comes Andrew. He's got this sack lunch for this kid, right? And he's like, hey, I got these 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he's like, listen, this is kind of disappointing. This is actually kind of sorry, right? I mean, he's like, hey, you know, I got this lunch. And he opens it up and he's like, oh, it's like sardines and crackers. Great. It's all I got. And so, of course, you know, again, he's kind of, this guy's back to like, it's not even enough. There's no way that this is going to be enough. And so instead of trusting Jesus in the moment, he begins to figure out the negative Nancy part of what's going on in the story. And so, of course, he's like, I don't know what we're going to do. I mean, he says it, right? Questions Jesus. He says, but this really isn't anything, right? He says, there's a boy who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they for so many? And so, of course, Jesus, he says, well, have everybody sit down. Okay, imagine that moment. Okay. Imagine that moment. Have everybody sit down. Okay. Jesus, did you hear what I said? We have 5 loaves of bread that are probably more like rolls. They're not like loaves. Okay, so when we say loaves, we're not thinking these huge, you know, bunny bread, large plantation loaves of, no. Like we're talking about like a roll probably of sorts, something very small. And some fish probably weren't like, you know, we're not talking about like a mahi-mahi he's dragging around on his back. We're talking about some little fish, okay, that he probably got at the market before he left. He packed a little bit. And so what happens is Jesus is like, hey, set them down. But, you know, Jesus doesn't need our help. Philip and Andrew in these moments, you know, you got to realize that Jesus didn't really need their help, right? Jesus didn't need the disciples to go and find a lunch. Remember, he already knows the plan. He already knew what was going to happen. He knows exactly what's going to take place, when it's going to take place, right? But the coolest part of this thing is that he holds back and allows us to be a part of the story. He allows us to be a miracle, even though he doesn't have to. Because the truth is, he can use us despite of ourselves. Think about that for a minute. All the excuses and all the things that we come up with and why we can't do something, he can use you regardless of those things, right? Well, I don't have much to offer. I don't have anything, you know. Good. That's good. Because that's what Jesus wants from you. You don't have anything, so what you do have, give it to him. And that's all he wants. He wants your obedience to serve. He wants your obedience to get in there, right? He uses all kinds of people. We're seeing that play out right now, right? So people who thought that they had a great job and people who thought that they were important are actually coming to find out you're not really that important. You're finding out real quick that maybe your job is just like everybody else's job. Because, I mean, honestly, you know, we thought down, whether you want to say you did or didn't, but we think down on, like, garbage collectors. Who's got a job right now? Garbage collectors. Sewer workers. Water workers. Gas meters. All these people. You're finding out all these people who are stepping up. People who are like, you're like, maybe you didn't realize how important their job was. And now you're like, wow, There's all these people doing these things, right? Like drywall workers, postal workers, right? People who sit at computers all day and they work through your unemployment requests and they work through your insurance requests and they do all these kinds of things, right? Flooring people, bakers, teachers, law enforcement, all of these people that do these incredible things, right? Coaches, fast food workers, thank the Lord for fast food workers, right? I got to get my takeout. I got to get my McDonald's. I got to get my so-and-so. I'm going crazy from cooking. We just need some pizza or whatever the case may be, right? God can use all of these people. But don't miss this, okay? The one that God did use was a little boy. He is an inadequate, insignificant little boy. Because the truth is, back then, kids weren't really looked upon as, like, necessary. Like, they were just kind of like, oh, great, get out of here, kid. You know, that kind of thing. Like, so much so that literally when they traveled places from place to place, the kids would either run before or run behind. They would not walk with their parents. Imagine that today, okay? Imagine that today. You don't believe me, look in the scriptures in Luke chapter 21. This is where Jesus gets lost at the temple, okay? And it's not because Jesus was lost. It's because his parents weren't concerned about where Jesus was. It's not because he's Jesus. It's because that's how they traveled. They literally, in Luke 21, you can go back and read it, they literally traveled an entire day without knowing where Jesus was. And then they started going, hey, where's Jesus? Could you imagine being a parent today? Where are my kids? It's been a day. I hadn't seen my kids. I'm calling CPS or whatever the case may be. But that passage of scripture right there talks about how it was 3 days before they found Jesus. And so God used a little boy to do a miracle. And God used the most insignificant person in the crowd to do his mighty work. And I want you to hear that message. I want you to hear that because God will work through you. Regardless of what you think you are, regardless of what you think you have to offer, God will use you to do what he wants to do regardless of you. You just have to be obedient and allow him to work in you. And so as we travel through this passage of scripture, the miracle takes place, right? So verse 10, Jesus said, have the people sit down. And there was much grass in this place. And so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. And Jesus then took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted, as much as they wanted. These people were able to eat as much as they wanted. Have you ever been to a Golden Corral? Have you ever been to a Golden Corral and walked out of that place like you were going to give birth? Like, oh, like you do the Prego walk, you know, you're kind of waddling to the car because you've had so much to eat. Well, there's this instant right here with these people who were probably hungry from traveling, who probably didn't have that much to eat anyway. Because remember, this kid had these 5 barley loaves, which was the bottom of the barrel. So we weren't talking about people who probably had a plethora of food around. They were probably hungry and he allowed them to eat as much as they wanted. That's probably a lot of food, okay? And so all of a sudden, after they eat all the food that they had wanted, right? So the men sat down, about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves and the fishes, and he scattered them out. Now, just a side note here. Jesus is also a God of order. And so all the planners in the building, in the internet, wherever you are, like, feel comforted in this moment that your plans that you plan, it's good to be organized. It's good to be that way because he is a God of order. You got to know there was not some just kind of like, let's throw it in the air kind of confetti moment. This was a, okay, this line over here, this line over here, this line over here. Okay, you're going to get this one, you're going to get that one, and then eat. He's a God of order. He does that's from the get-go, right? When God created all things, it was a specific purpose behind it. You got to know in this moment that there was a little bit of order to feed 5,000 people or it would be just utter chaos, right? Or 10,000 or however many it is. So Jesus tells them, hey, gather up the fragments that nothing may be lost. So also he's not a God of waste. So not only is he a God of order, he's not a God of waste. And so he's a God that provides for us, but he doesn't provide too much. He gives you exactly what you need. He gives you exactly what you need right at the moment that you need it. And so all of a sudden, he gets these, and it's 12 baskets, right? 12 baskets of leftovers. And I'm wondering, like, you know, how big were these baskets? Because I'm imagining that these are like baskets, like, you know, the big, huge baskets that they carry on their heads, you know, or whatever, and they're walking around. Like, I'm not thinking that it's a little basket, like, okay, here's your, no. I mean, you know, he provides plentiful bounty, right? And so there's these huge baskets of leftovers, right? And there's 5,000 women and children that have just eaten as much as they wanted to, right? And I'm sure that there's a moment in their hearts where they thought about the provision that God gave them back in the wilderness. I'm sure that there was a moment that they were remembered where the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness and God provided manna for them. And I know that in this moment, there has to be a moment where they say, man, this is so much like our forefathers. Like, what, man, you remember reading that? That this is crazy. This is like God totally provided for them. And now look, this man, Jesus, is providing for us bread and fish. This has got to be the Messiah. This has got to be the man. This is definitely Jesus, right? And what we can take away from this is that Jesus will provide. Jesus is all about providing for his people. He's done it then. He'll do it now. He will provide. And so how do they respond? Like, what's their reaction to this moment? And when the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Now, I love this moment, right? So they're getting excited. He's here. Jesus, the Messiah. Let's get him. That's kind of what's going on here. And they're like, we're going to take him by force. He's our king. He's the one. And, you know, Jesus is like, yeah, I'm thinking I need to get out of here. He perceives their thoughts, right? I love it when Jesus perceives their thoughts because he's literally mind reading, which is pretty cool to think about, but pretty scary to think about at the same time, right? So they want to make Jesus their earthly king, right? And they were going to take him by force. And Jesus knew this and he took off because he had a desire. He had a desire to come on up. He had a desire to sit there and say, hey, you know what? I want to work in you. I want to move in you. I want to be with the Father, though. I desire to be with my Father. And so he takes off by himself. And so what's going on is that Jesus escapes. He knows what you want. He knows what's in your heart. He knows how you are. And so my question to you is this, like these people wanted to make him their earthly king. My question to you is, have you made Jesus your heavenly king? Have you made Jesus your spiritual provider, your Lord of your life? Have you allowed him to work inside of you, right? Have you made him your way maker? Have you made him your miracle worker? Have you made him your promise keeper, your provider, the one that you love, the one who seeks after you, the one who will provide for you constantly? Have you made him Lord of your life? See, because the miracle is that he loves you. He loves you so much that he wants the best for you and he wants to provide for you. Maybe you're watching today and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life. Maybe you're watching today and you don't know what to do. Maybe you don't know how to do that. But allow God to use him, to use you. Allow God to work in you. Allow God to do the things that you want him to do through you with his power and his might. It's by his power and his might that you will be changed forever. It's because of a great God who loves you dearly. And see, we don't really have to worry about when we go places, worry about things that we have to pack or don't have to pack. Because the truth is, Jesus is going to take care of what we need and what we don't need. And so we're going on those trips spiritually. Jesus will provide. Jesus will give you everything that you need at the moment that you need it. So our prayer for you, as you seek the Lord, that you will find him. Because he is a miracle worker. And he has your best interest in mind. And he loves you dearly. Let's pray. Father, we pray, Jesus, that you would do things that only you can do. Father, that you would work in ways that only you can work. And Lord, we pray, God, that you would work miracles in our lives. Father, that you would clear our anxieties about this sickness, that you would clear anxieties about how you're going to provide, that you would clear anxieties about the things that are going on, Father, that you would do the work that you do that we know that you can do and that we would trust you to do that work and that we would be obedient in that, Father, because you are able. and you know our plans. And we love you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.